So the latest from France, where today the surviving staff of Charlie Hebdo unveiled the magazine's new cover in a sometimes emotional press conference. Here's the cartoonist Luz talking about the days after the attack.
We had to start, but we didn't know how we were going to start. I didn't know if it was going to be possible for me to draw, quite honestly.
The cover he did come up with features the Prophet Muhammad crying and holding an I Am Charlie sign above him, the words All is Forgiven. Many media outlets, including NPR, are not showing it because any depiction of the Prophet is offensive to many Muslims. But today Luz said, this is the Muhammad we draw. We draw a man who cries. Meantime, the investigation continues into the two Kouachi brothers who claimed the attack on the paper and claimed a connection with Al-Qaeda, and Amadi Coulibaly, who killed four hostages at a kosher market and claimed to work with ISIS. His widow is seen on security video taken before the attacks arriving in Turkey. She's reportedly crossed into Syria. In Bulgaria, officials say they've arrested a man with ties to the brothers, and the French prime minister said he wants new security proposals, including more surveillance of imprisoned radicals. Lot going on. Let's bring in Jim Walsh, here now security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Jim, start with your take on a call for more French surveillance. Did they drop the ball on these three gunmen and the widow, or do you agree with the thinking it's impossible to track even previously jailed jihadists, as two of the gunmen were?
Well, I would separate out two things, Robin. First is the French president calling for more laws to be passed. When you look at it and step back, France is one of the more muscular countries when it comes to terrorism. There's a false debate here between being tough on terrorists or not being tough. The French have always been very tough compared to their European neighbors, including Britain. And they've passed a bunch of laws over the past 20 years, upgrading the legal basis for their interventions. I don't know that passing a lot of laws is going to matter, because I think the problem here was intelligence. These were people they were following, had under surveillance, had arrest records, were in prison, and then they sort of dropped them. And so that speaks more to a resource issue than a legal issue, that they simply did not have enough person power and money to be able to track all the people they wanted to.
Well, then explain to people listening on this side of the pond how difficult that is. I mean, we've heard analysts say it's impossible to track the number of suspected jihadists.
Well, a lot of this comes down to geography, that thing we used to study in school way back when. If you look at a map, you'll see that France is right across from North Africa and the Middle East, far closer than we are. We're separated by two big oceans. And so there's also a tradition there. You know, France was an imperial power that colonized many of these people. And there have been large numbers of people from the Middle East and North Africa who have been part of French society for decades. The problem is that means, at least according to some estimates, and I'm always leery of these numbers, but, you know, as many as 3,000 to 5,000 extremists mm-hmm. might be in France. And then if it takes 25 or so, as one analyst estimated, police officers to sort of track any one given person, well, those numbers begin to add up.
Yeah. Well, French officials today are saying they've tracked the weapons that were used in the attack to outside of France. A French police official says the amount spent on them clearly shows a network. But we're also hearing that while this may have been Al-Qaeda or ISIS inspired, it was homegrown. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, again, it's worth sort of comparing this to our experience here. This was not 9/11. It's horrible. It's to be condemned. It's terrible. But essentially, it's people with guns who went and attacked soft targets. This was not an attack on the government, on an airport, on a major installation. And frankly, it's rather hard to prevent people, if they want to get guns and go shoot up grocery stores.
In an age of social media, you can attack a soft target and have the world's attention.
Absolutely. And that's what terrorism is all about by definition, that you can execute something that's smaller, again, tragic and awful, but smaller, but then get disproportionate result from it, a real fear on the part of the population. I'm afraid that's what's happened here.
Meanwhile, I want to ask you, Hayat Boumediene, the widow of the kosher market shooter, has reportedly crossed into Syria, where ISIS and Al-Qaeda often fight each other, by the way. These are the two groups
yes.
said to inspire these shooters. What do you make of that, her crossing into Syria?
Well, I think Syria is such a fractured country now that has, you know, extremists from all different persuasions. But certainly, there are Sunni extremists, whether they be Al-Qaeda or whether they be ISIS. They're still Sunni extremists who are using violence to try to achieve their aims. And Syria is probably a hospitable place for someone like that.
Yeah, and does that say to you that ISIS was behind this attack, or that she just knows that she'd find refuge there?
You know, I think she has some ties to, if I remember correctly, she already had some ties there going back. I would be hesitant to draw strong conclusions less than a week after an incident. I think we find that when we do, a lot of those end up being wrong. You find out 2 months later that that actually wasn't the case. So I think we should show a little patience, let the investigation play out on its own, and then draw conclusions.
Jim Walsh, here and now, security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.